Perfect. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, we'll go from the book of Acts through the book of Philemon, and we are at the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 30. Let's have some coffee, we'll pray, and we'll get into the Lord's Word. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your Spirit. And we thank you for the hope that you give us. Lord, we pray now that as we read your word, that you would care for us. We pray that you would teach us. We pray that you would comfort us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 30. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope. Because the Christian creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we await eagerly for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Well, what a wonderful passage, very helpful passage. We need to ask ourselves, A, what's this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to these words? So what is this about? Well, we find ourselves in this place in our lives where, well, not everything's the way it should be. You know that, don't you? You have aches and pains in your body. Your car breaks down. Your house needs repaired. People get sick. People even die. And what this is getting at is, is there any hope or is there any help as we go through various trials and pains and things in our lives? Well, in verses 18 through 25, we find that suffering is there and it's true. But we do have hope. It says that the whole creation eagerly awaits. Right? It groans with anticipation. Remember, creation was changed by the fall. When Adam sinned, it did not just mean that humanity got messed up, but it also meant that all creation, remember, there was a time when there weren't thorns. There was a time when there weren't weeds. There was a time when the promise was there that they would multiply and fill the earth, but there wouldn't be birth pains. But now all creation is subjected to this reality. That the world isn't the way it's supposed to be. And so all creation eagerly groans, awaits for the day of redemption when the King will come back, when our bodies will be resurrected, when Isaiah chapter 65 will be true, when children will no longer die. We eagerly wait for that. We have hope. Now, the way the scripture uses the word hope here is not like, well, I hope that I'm going to get pizza for dinner. But this is an assurance. This is a firm knowledge that what God has said is happening in the future is true. And faith produces hope. Right? And so we read in these verses that we have hope. Hope not in something that we can see, but in God himself and in his promises. And then in verses 28 or 26 through 27, it even goes on beyond that. Not just that we have hope, but also that the Spirit helps us. I love what this says. Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know what this is like sometimes, don't you? When the depression is so thick, when the clouds are so dark, when your heart is so downcast that you don't know what to pray, when the grief is so thick that nothing else seems more real, when life is so hard, the trials are so difficult, the mountains seem so high that you'll never be able to scale them. And it seems like when you look up to heaven, it seems like the floor of heaven is a concrete floor 24 inches thick that your prayers could never get through, and you're at a loss for words. And all you could do is say, God, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know why this is going on. God promises us here that his Spirit hears you and that he prays for you. He intercedes for you. What a comfort this is to know that in your life, you Christian, and in my life, the Holy Spirit knows that. He takes those prayers, which are just groans and sighs. He knows your tears. And he intercedes for you. He goes to the Father. How wonderful is that? You don't have to go to a temple. You don't have to go to a priest. But the Spirit himself is the one who intercedes for you. That God has poured out his Spirit into your heart, the Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. The same one that when Jesus cried out to his Father in Mark chapter 16, when he was struggling with that cup of wrath, the Spirit was interceding. That same Spirit of Christ intercedes for you. He knows what those groans are like. And he's given us his Spirit. And just to make sure that we understand how much hope we have, our eyes are turned to God Almighty himself in the last few verses. Verses 28, 29, and 30 give us the golden chain of salvation. But this is not just some theological tome, but this is in this midst of us needing hope. We can hope in what God has done. Because from eternity past, God foreknew. Not foreknew that we would make a decision. Not foreknew something like that. Yes, of course he knows all things. But what does it say? Just take the text for what it actually says. For whom he foreknew. For whom. Not for what, for whom. God knew you from eternity past, that you would be predestined unto glory. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. See, God knows you. God knows everything about you. God chose you. God called you effectually by his Spirit, not just hearing the gospel, but when that good news of Jesus Christ reached into your heart and changed you from the inside out. He declared you righteous. He justified you. And it says here that he glorified you. Now that's an interesting thing. Here it's used in the aorist tense, which is typically the idea of past tense. But glorification is something that happens in the future. So how is this possible? See, because in the mind of God, this is how sure it is. If he has foreknown you before you were ever made, he will also glorify you. It's as sure as done. And with that type of knowledge, with that type of intercession of the Spirit, with that type of hope that God is going to restore all things, we can take heart what verse 28 says. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Life is hard. Right? Life is going to be hard. Any pastor, preacher, traveling salesman who has a pitch for you that, you know, coming to Christianity, you just need to claim some promises, right, so you can be happy, or you just need to pray certain prayers so you can be wealthy, or you just need to believe enough and then you'll be healthy, is a charlatan and a liar. I'd much rather have the biblical hope that we first got in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace which we now stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in what? We glory in what? We glory in tribulations. We glory in hardships. We glory in suffering. We glory in difficult things in our lives, not because they are pleasant, but because we know that God is working all things together for our good according to his purpose. It says here, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. I'm just going to jump straight to see calling. What are you called to do? Cling on to the promises of God. Cling on to the person of God. Lift up your eyes unto heaven. See what a mighty God you serve, and love him and follow him. I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know who has died in this past month. I don't know what it's like at your work. I don't know what ostracism you're getting from your friends. I don't know what the trials and temptations are. But what I do know is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that if he knit you together in your mother's womb, if he has known you from before the foundations of the world, and if he has set his love on you, then he is going to finish the good work he started in you. And so cling to God. Cling to what he's actually promised in his word. Love him, follow him, go to him. And may you rejoice forever, knowing that even in the darkest hours of your life, the hardest moments you ever experience, his Spirit is always with you. And there is going to come a day when he's going to remake this world, when he's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, when we will love him forever, when it's going to be better than the Garden of Eden. May you cling to the promises of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing it is to have you and to have the truth. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, that we would have hope, knowing that you are always our helper. Lord, please comfort us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may you love Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. May you love others as yourself. And may you know that the Spirit of Christ is always interceding for you. And may you enjoy him today. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.